B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
That's the phone number. We'll go right back to your calls as promised here. Let's go to Jim, who's in the car. He's got something on the Patriots. Hey, Jim.
How you doing? Thanks for taking the call.
Great. What do you got?
So, if you and Zoe were a GM of the Patriots, had your GM hat on looking at trades, they need help on both sides of the ball, obviously. Linebacker with Copeland out now for the year. Defensive end looked pretty bad last week. We know they need a wide receiver and a tight end. So what would each of your rank orders be, and what players would you want? Kenny Sills, Will Fuller, you know, Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah. Jim, first things first, I need to see them play well this week before I want to go shopping on the trade market for anything. They have to go out and play well and have a convincing win this week in Buffalo.
They have to do that to be able to say,
we want to give up anything.
Yeah, Gilmore play well and keep him, you know, and say, okay, we're in this thing. I don't want him to cash out.
Want to hear something interesting that happened this morning with Bill Belichick?
Sure.
He was asked about the trade deadline today, and this was his answer.
Yeah, Ben, that's something that, you know, I'll check in on with Nick here this week, but, you know, I usually don't get too involved in that. That's something that, you know, communication on that really goes through the personnel department and with Nick and his staff. So generally speaking, the coaches are pretty involved in their game preparations at this point in time until, you know, something becomes more of a realistic opportunity. We'll kind of see how that goes. I really don't have a good sense on that one way or the other.
Boy, that's pretty in-depth.
Bill's not picking up the phone. Nick is.
Hey, Ben. Okay. Yeah.
That's sort of insightful. You know what? I've never heard him say that before.
I know. That's Nick's department there. Okay. We're coaching football team, but I'll step in there at the end. Yeah. Last say on personnel there.
Call me when you get a bite.
Yeah.
You know,
go fishing.
I'll be downstairs.
Chum that water, pal. Scoop that bucket. Yep. Put the fish finder on.
Be-doop. Call me when you get something. I got the team to coach, and this week I'm taking on more than most weeks. So you let me know.
Very nice to Ben. Hey, Ben. Glad for asking that one.
I thought there was a great answer there.
He couldn't wait to answer.
He's not picking up the phone calling anybody. But you know that he's instructed Nick with what it is they're looking to do.
Of course. Oh, yeah.
Yep. So that's something to keep an eye on. Patriots at the deadline.
What if somebody came to him and said, "Hey, we'll give you two twos for Ernie Adams"? Would he trade Ernie?
Not tradable.
Untradable.
Not tradable.
Untouchable.
Not tradable. I think the problem is with injuries on this team right now. If you are going to go shopping, and you know they have a great win at Buffalo this week, and Cam gets back on track, and Bill and Nick look at it and say this team is worth investing in. What position do you attack first? Because they need help in a lot of spots. They do. It's not just about receiver and tight end. It's not. The defensive side of the ball needs help.
They need
front seven players on that other side. And they're going to need to go shopping for multiple pieces. Like, if you were to, like, address your needs here at the deadline, you're talking about acquiring four or five players to truly address the needs.
Yeah.
And I'm just not sure that's feasible for any team any deadline.
Did you watch any of that game last night at all?
I checked in on it.
Yeah. Did you see Akeem Hicks? Like, I can't believe he's still cranked up, and he's like a center part of that Chicago Bear defense. Like, he is huge. He got bigger, and he's playing better. And he's made a hell
he's
of
He's played really well
he's
there.
He's made a hell of a
there.
Career for himself.
I mean, he was good here.
I know, but he wanted to go to Chicago and be home.
Yeah.
And he got paid well there.
So why wouldn't
you?
Fit
him under, and he hasn't skipped a beat. Like, but you need, because he stood out. Like, that's the type of player you need. That disruptive guy in the middle. Now, Lawrence Guy, I think, gives you everything he can, but he's not Hicks. He doesn't command that type of attention. He's not that size. Like, that dude's disruptive. Yeah, they had that man picked. But then you had Trey Flowers, too. Trey was disruptive. You've been able to sort of select those type of guys and understand it, coach them up and teach them there.
They need to draft more of those guys.
They need that, and that stood out to me last night that, okay, you think they need tight end, receiver. They need a – the defense is more of an issue, I think, than –
like, that's why I'm telling you. So how many guys would it take?
This shouldn't be crush camp for 5 days. Like, this defense got to get their head out of their ass and get going. They know it. They know it. I think the head coach knows it, too, and he said, we will be better. We'll be better. It's on me now.
Let's go to Sam in Quincy. Hey, Sam.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
The show. Thanks for taking my call.
How's the South Shore?
You know, it's not too bad today.
Nice.
You know, it's a cool breeze. It's a cool breeze. So I wanted to get your guys' opinion on the Cam Newton throw to N'Keal Harry. The one where he got just absolutely popped in the head. To me, I kind of took a little issue with it. He kind of let him in the middle of the field a little bit. It was a high throw.
Hospital ball.
Put N'Keal Harry in a really bad, vulnerable position. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, it's something that I think you look at, and he was running that drag from left to right underneath. Still wouldn't have got the first down. Didn't think he really had a chance to run with it if he did catch it. Still kind of hung him out, but yeah, Cam's done a little bit of that. He's thrown him in there with Edelman, too, over the middle. Remember, Julian had to go down and catch a couple around the shoestrings, made a couple nice snags, had to get down to take the hit off. It's part of playing receiver in the middle of the football field. You're going to have those, especially when you got zone. You got somebody sitting over there waiting. And that's another thing, is he misreading the coverage? Because if you kind of stuck it in the zone, that one guy's waiting for that, looking for that crosser, waiting to tee him up. We saw it with Kansas City. Somebody hit the hell out of Kelce. I think it was Cowart or Calhoun, one of those guys. You're looking for those crossers, and you're trying to tee those guys up. Earhole them so they won't run across the middle anymore. That's a message you send as a defender. Want to run crossers? You get your head taken off. Maybe you'll think next time.
Dennis in Stoneham. Hi, Dennis.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, my thought is, I don't think Cam Newton's been the same since he got his ass handed to him in the Super Bowl. He was flashing that Superman sign all this time, that whole year, how great he was and all this stuff. He wound up getting his clock cleaned. Now he's more like Jimmy Olsen than Superman. What do you guys think about that?
Nope. I see the joke there.
I don't.
He
draw
played
a line
well
in the Super Bowl.
He played well that year before he got hurt. He was getting his consistent numbers up there and his high percentage thrower.
Nope, I disagree.
When he hurt the foot in the preseason, that was it. Shut him down a year ago, and pretty much before that, he rebounded well.
Pretty
that.
Sure we saw him break out the Superman in week two.
Yeah.
Pretty dun, sure. Dun, 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 pretty dun. Sure we saw that.
Jimmy Olsen.
Chris in Concord. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hey, I guess my question to you guys is essentially, you know, I felt like Cam played well the first 2 weeks, and then obviously you got COVID, and then there's, you know, a bag of problems that came from that. And, you know, a lot of remaining side effects that we all know is, you know, like lung issues, kind of like the brain fog, things of that nature. I mean, I know just myself, if I'm working out and have the flu, you know, it takes a while to kind of bounce back from that, let alone at a professional level. I was just seeing how much you guys think that's playing a role.
Well, I think they have great care down there. Bill addressed it today when he was asked that question, and he said, no, he hasn't actually had any symptoms. He's felt fine. And if he was feeling anything, we would have put him on the injury report. Or you put him on the list. Do you have lists for that now? You're very aware of it. They're studying it. And those guys are taken care of well, and doctors around at all times.
But it's not out of the question to think that he was not,
it's a good question,
completely asymptomatic, that he did feel something while he was positive, and that there are lingering issues. I mean, right. We've talked with you know, people here on the show who had it and said that, you know, months later they still weren't right, and you see all the reports from it that it, you know, it's a lingering thing. I don't know that it accounts for everything that we've seen out of Cam on the field for the last 2 weeks. But I don't think it's out of the question to think that, all right, maybe he was affected by this. Maybe he wasn't these totally, now I test positive, but I feel fine cases that we keep hearing about. Maybe he felt it. Maybe he's still feeling it.
Here's my counter to that. Go back and watch the Raider game and watch some of his decision-making there and throwing into triple, quadruple coverage. You know, the potential interceptions he could have had there. I thought that was one of his worst games. And that was prior to COVID. So, I mean, he had a clunker in there prior to COVID. Even though they won that game, he did not play well in that game. He hasn't played well since Seattle. Game two, week two. We're in week eight here, guys. Week eight. I think that may be the bigger underlying problem, that you got a pretty damn good sample of what he is and who he is. And maybe that's what's affecting the team a little bit. Like, we're cooked. The other guy, not so cooked when we had him. I'm not forcing that comparison, but you always knew you were in a game with him. You know what I mean? I don't know if you feel that way with Cam. I think this offense needs to be out in front to feel that way. Sort of like Baltimore, too.
Tony in Oldbrook. Hi, Tony.
Hey.
Hey.
Tony, you there? Nope, that didn't work out. Give us a call back, Tony. We'll go to Patrick in L.A. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I apologize if this was already covered. I just got in the car. But with the speculation that the cap is going to go down next year,
yep,
and we apparently have a ton of money under the salary cap, wouldn't it be wise, I mean, really, to hold on to everything we have? Because I think that a lot of teams are going to be dropping, or going to be forced to drop, actually NFL-proven players, good players, because of that.
I mean, the cap's going to go down a little bit. It's not a ton, right, so, but it's good. Go ahead.
I just want to clarify. So you're talking about the trade deadline to hang on to your players? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in anything that we're...
Keep your money situation the same, I think.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're trading players that we're going to have to take on salary. So
I get what you're saying. That does make sense.
You're ahead of the game. Stay more ahead of the game now. There's going to be good players available. You got the draft next year, and, you know, teams like the Chiefs say, you're not going to be able to keep everybody.
So, for example, don't take on a receiver with term left on a big contract, or defensive player with term left and a big contract, because you're better off attacking those needs through free agency this coming offseason, when prices on players will probably be
and
depressed.
I don't anticipate them doing that. And I go back to last year, he gave up a second round pick for Mohamed Sanu. Mohamed Sanu is kind of that next lower tier as opposed to that big impact thing. And that team last year, you were a contender. You were a contender. You were just looking for that one little extra piece.
The Patriots
not a big
were?
Piece. Yeah.
You thought they were a contender?
Oh, hell yeah. 12 wins? Yeah.
Well,
absolutely.
They lost to Miami at the end.
Well, they were 8-0, then they went 8-1.
They struggled and lost in the wild card round.
Yeah.
And also, they started out 8-0, and the quarterback was miserable, and it turns out he had good reason to feel the way he did about the team.
Yeah, but you look at that Eagles game when after they got Sanu, and you tried to feed him, which you did, and then you made him return a punt for whatever reason, and that's how he got hurt. But you could tell they were desperate to get some help there.
Some thoughts on baseball coming your way next. Nah, big picture thoughts on baseball.
Okay.
And we remember something that happened on this day many years ago. We'll do both of those things for
all
you.
Right.
So coming back on the other side with more of your calls on the Patriots all day.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five is the phone number. We'll go right back to your calls as promised here. Let's go to Jim, who's in the car. He's got something on the Patriots. Hey, Jim.
How you doing? Thanks
Good.
For taking the call.
Great. What do you got?
If you and Zoe were a GM of the Patriots, had your GM hat on looking at trades, they need help on both sides of the ball, obviously. Linebacker with Copeland out now for the year. Defensive end.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The former QB always laser focused.
It's like going to bed at night, bringing a rattlesnake in your room. I'm sleeping on a hot spot on a hot rock.
And the guy who was always by his side.
The Lakers, UFOs, mayonnaise, all in the mix here.
Zolak and Bertrand.
If that makes any sense.
No.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back to full. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champions. It has been 86 years. Generations have come and gone. And for the first time since 1918, the Boston Red Sox are champions of baseball. A clean sweep of the St. Louis Cardinals. A dominating effort by the Red Sox in this World Series. And the Red Sox celebrate in the middle of the diamond here at Busch Stadium.
Tessie is the 16 years ago tonight. 16 years since the Red Sox won that World Series. And by the way, the clip, when you see it back and you watch it, folk has the comebacker and they win the World Series. That was the most... At the time, like anticlimactic thing ever.
Yeah.
Like it was a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, can you believe it?
In fact, before they had even won the first three games of the World Series, you sort of felt like, oh, they beat the Yankees. They're not losing now.
It
like,
was.
It's over, St. Louis.
It was the Patriots beating the Chiefs in the AFC title game. The Super Bowl is anticlimactic. Yes.
So.
Yes.
You remember the highlight, I guess, in a more dramatic way than you it actually played out.
Think about how many babies were born after that, too.
Game six of the World Series tonight with the Dodgers ready to clinch it and wrap that thing up. That's what that looks like to me. It's 3-2 Dodgers lead. Game six tonight, 8:08 first pitch. Now, here's a story on baseball today as the World Series wraps up. Evan Drellick of The Athletic, formerly of NBC Sports Boston. He writes, Major League Baseball owners this month have combined to lay off hundreds of people across different club departments. He goes on to say that the layoffs have threatened the livelihood of scores of people who work behind the scenes in the game. One scout said, quote, owners are being incredibly short-sighted. At the expense of saving a few hundred thousand dollars short-term, they are risking making multi-million dollar mistakes by not adequately covering leagues, teams, organizations, and by eliminating some of the most proven talent evaluators in the game. Ticketing and sales workers are being hit hard, too, after a year when they were basically out of work. They had no tickets to sell. Fans were not at games. It has led to baseball, according to an MLB official telling The Athletic, the league has lost $3.1 billion in their pandemic-shortened season.
Okay, you knew you were going to lose a ton of money here.
Earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization showed a loss of $2.7 billion. Their underlying finances are closely guarded in Major League Baseball because, as most owners do in sports, whether it's any of the four major leagues, they all lie. When times are bad, they tell you it's far worse than it is. When times are good, they tell you it's not as good as you think it is. That's what they do. They just lie. So let's just take it on its surface, though. They lost $3.1 billion. Fine, we'll accept the number for the sake of the conversation. When I see that, my biggest question about baseball is, because they had no tickets to sell and no fans.
Yeah.
Has baseball been the most damaged by the pandemic out of the four major sports here in this country? Because it feels that way. I don't mean just financial losses,
yeah,
Hardy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean about what do they look like once the pandemic is over? What do they look like coming back from this? Because I can see football stadiums in the NFL will be back to full capacity, as will NBA games.
But it's 16 events.
Hockey fans are maniacs, and they will absolutely be there. Yeah, but the NBA and the NHL are not. Those are 80-plus games, plus playoffs.
But those are exciting things to attend. Like, you can't wait to get back to the Garden to go grab something to eat down there around it, and then let's get in there and let's go watch Celtics at home. Celtics are a fun product to watch at home.
I think the popularity of the NBA is always on the rise.
Yeah.
I think the NFL is a monster, and I think that when it comes to the NHL, they have a sort of a cult following that is so diehard and so engaged that their fans will come back. Baseball
effed it up at the start of this pandemic. They had a chance to be at the front and the forefront of this thing.
Yep.
Like, we're the only thing out there. And they had that whole money issue between the players and the owners, and it never looked like it was going to come together.
But I think that would have only exacerbated their money issues right now, because when you look at it, they had to play more games of their regular season without any fans, without any of that additional revenue than the other teams did. NHL and NBA were pretty much done. So all they really had to do was kind of finish up the season quickly and get right into the playoffs. And they did it in a bubble, which could not have been cheap, but I don't know how those costs were offset. Major League Baseball, for as short as the season was, they still played well over a third of what their regular season would have been without any gate, without any concession, without any of that stuff. So I don't doubt the numbers, even though they won't open up their books and they won't do anything like that. Yeah, I'm sure they lost a ton of money this year. But Zoe, you're absolutely right. They could have jumped out in front, and they could have even been ahead of MLS, which got back at it quickly. They were in the buildings. They were training. They did their return to play tournament early July. We were talking with Bruce Arena about it, you know, right here when it happened. Baseball could have beat them to that, and they didn't.
But what does that matter in terms of missing the fan experience of buying tickets?
Well, I think it could have helped them in terms of generating some more interest and being the first sport back, and that would have been the first thing you would have been invested in this year. And when you're talking about the long-term health of the sport, people would have a better feeling about baseball right now than they do. It's like, oh, yeah, then they went back and played, and I don't know, then they had their playoffs in the World Series. It would have been more part of the conversation. You know, the public sports discourse would have been all about baseball this summer had they gotten to it sooner.
Well, they've had some of the worst World Series ratings ever this year. Game one, down 25% from a year ago.
That's unbelievable.
Okay, where more people are home now than ever before.
With no...
In modern times, right, with television, you know, people are home. And on top of that, they haven't had to compete against other sports such as the NBA or the NHL starting up. They haven't had those things to compete with. They have played some games on the same days as NFL games, but even if they're playing a Saturday night game, right, like they did last weekend, they don't have the same lineup of college football that they're competing against. They have LA as one of the TV markets that has a team in the World Series right now, and that hasn't even helped make up for it.
You haven't done anything to make your game more attractive to the quick viewer. You know, the person that doesn't have a ton of time, but, you know, I'm busy. What's going to draw me in? What's going to suck me in? There's no Pedro. There's no guy that's going to go seven innings plus. You know, some of these teams that approach it with no starter, and we're going to pull a guy after an inning and two-thirds, and the next thing you know, you got seven pitchers up.
Those problems have existed.
That stuff pisses you off.
But those problems have existed in baseball now for years.
And nobody fixed it.
That didn't pop up in 2020. But what did happen in 2020 was people's routines has changed. Okay, things have changed. Your habits have changed. And when it comes back around that the ballparks are back open, I have a real fear for baseball that their fans are not going to come back at the same rate they used to come to the ballpark.
I thought,
and part of that will also be that, seasonally speaking, our summers seemed the most normal out of anything since this began. Summer seemed the most normal. You probably still went away on a vacation to Maine or to the Cape, or you still went to somebody's pool, or you still went out
camping, or you go boating,
or you went to the beach, or you went out on a boat. You were still doing stuff, right? It felt semi-normal this summer. And if you've got the chance to do some other normal activities in the summer months,
right,
you're probably just going to continue to stick to that,
yeah,
as opposed to clamoring to go to Fenway Park.
Like, Rich even bought a boat and learned how to fish, and then he found clams.
Yes,
it's amazing.
We know. You like making fun of Rich. We understand.
He went on a Benito run right off the beach. No, I'm serious, though.
It's very passive-aggressive. I wish he'd just, you know, have it out.
I know. It's funny. I thought Fred hit this on the nail the other day. Fred was talking about baseball. You know, his kid plays baseball, and Fred's always traveling with him, and they're doing the AAU thing. He goes, what's going to be cool with me and everything that I've went through is I'm going to be looking for things to do. So baseball, when it starts, Nobody's going to want to go to games. He says, so I'm going to be able to pick up tickets dirt cheap, walk up, day a game, stay for four innings. I might go to 30 games this year because it's going to be easy to go to because he thinks nobody's going to want to go and tickets going to be dirt cheap. You can walk up, buy a ticket, and I'll just go for four innings and then leave. Is that what it's going to be?
I don't know.
Like, you're going to love opening day. Like, people love opening day. But after that dies down, you know, and then you get the bad weather games and that, it's going to be a tough draw.
And by the way, I'm not convinced that baseball has their fans back or allowed to be back on opening day next spring.
We're playing fantasy land.
You could be in a similar situation this spring as we were in last.
Oh, my God. I hope not. Oh, my God.
So it could extend over multiple seasons when it comes to baseball, and that's something to consider, too. But I'm talking about when everything is back to normal. I'm not talking about next spring. Let's say 2022. What's that look like for baseball? How are they going to bounce back? I think they should have some real fears about their future, and they might have to make some dramatic changes to their game to get people reengaged. So that's in the mix here today, too. They lost $3.1 billion this season. Baseball is getting hit in the wallet right now, as is everybody, really, as is every sport, every team. 617-779-0985. You have thoughts on that? You can bring those to the table as well. Did we find out if Tom Brady said what Zoe thought he said, T-Bone? We have audio of it? Okay, we're going to get a clarification there. We'll hear from Brady himself in his interview last night, and we'll get to your calls on the Patriots and Major League Baseball. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom Brady. Tom.
That's to bring you back to the old days. Tommy and Jim Gray. Tom Brady.
Tom Leahy?
All right, he asked Brady last night in his Monday Night Football Westwood One interview whether or not he has influence over what is happening in Tampa Bay with the personnel decisions. Ready for that?
Sure.
All right, let's hear. What exactly did Brady say?
Now Antonio Brown will join the team. It's been well chronicled. The relationship that you have built over the past couple of seasons with Antonio and trying to help mentor him to get back into the National Football League and to be productive in his life. Bruce Arians said after the game yesterday that it was the organization's decision and that you didn't try and influence this. How happy are you that he's there?
No, certainly I'm happy for Antonio to get an opportunity to resume his career. And he's put a lot of time and energy into working on a lot of things in his life, and I know he's excited to play football. So everyone's going to earn a role on our team, and I know that's his mindset too. And we'll see how things come together as we get into our game planning and we get into the second half of our season when he's available. We have a big game in the meantime against the Giants. And again, I think receiver position is really a position of strength on our offense, and how Antonio fits into that is going to be up to him and the role that he can create for himself, which is, you know, which we all know what he's capable of when he's playing. And we've all got to come together as an offense and figure out how to be as productive as we can possibly be.
So he doesn't deny any involvement, though Bruce Arians denied the involvement. So that's really Bruce Arians that I should take that issue with.
Yeah.
I don't believe Bruce Arians, but we don't believe him often. We think he's full of crap 90% of the time. So that's no shocker. So Brady didn't deny it.
Bruce Arians or Bruce Arians?
According to Gray, it's Arians. Bruce Arians.
Like the
Aaron snow
like
thrower.
The mower or snow thrower, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so there it is.
Okay. It was more of a clickbait than the...
There's a follow-up, too.
The title, go ahead.
That we can add in.
How much influence and input do you have with the Bucks and the coaching
this
staff
is what
and,
we needed
and the
first.
Front office?
Yeah. Jesus, T-Bone.
This is what we needed that one first.
You said you wanted Antonio Brown stuff.
It's not strong day for
me. Here's how I remember going down. You in the studio, Beetle asked for something. You yelled at Beetle.
Yep.
You raised your voice, which is not something you do very often.
And he threw it on B-Rob.
And then you walked out.
Yep.
I was in there.
The B-Rob's going to Antonio this clip. Brown stuff.
Let's hear this one.
How much influence and input do you have with the Bucks and the coaching staff and the front office?
Well, I'm the quarterback of the team, and that's my role and responsibility. I'm trying to do that the best way I possibly can. And, you know, Whitney time, I've had a lot of years of experience. I have 21 years of experience. I have a lot of relationships with a lot of people, a lot of players, coaches, former players that are now coaches. And I do appreciate the relationship I have with BA and Jason Light. I think they know me. They know what my style is. And I have a tremendous amount of trust in them. And they're putting the team first. And they've gone out and done a great job getting players that help all of us do our job better. And from a quarterback standpoint, when you have the kind of skill players that we have, it makes it fun because you can really deal when you get out there on the field. And like I said, wherever the ball dictates it go based on coverage, that's where it goes and we're making the plays. So I give Bruce a lot of credit. Obviously, Jason, the tremendous job they've done since the offseason. And it's been a lot of fun being here and getting to work. And we have a lot of football ahead of us, and we're going to approach every week as if it's a one-game season. And that's the reality of NFL because nothing carries over from week to week, and we got to put everything into it this week against the Giants because that's what this league demands.
That fun word put in there twice.
He is so good
at
giving an answer that completely deflects and does not answer the question, and he did not deny that he was involved or influenced the decision. He didn't deny it. He really didn't.
He didn't.
He didn't say, he said, I'm the quarterback.
I'm the quarterback and I have a job to do.
And I have a job. That's my job.
Have they done a nice job giving me some things to have fun with.
B.A. and fun. Jason, they know my style. BA? Like, he never said, no, I didn't tell them to sign Antonio Brown. He never, he's so good at it. Yeah, I do miss that part of him. So good. Not answering the question.
I miss it.
He just talked for 2 minutes and never gave an answer.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What you're supposed to do.
So he didn't deny it. Good. I'm glad. Because he's clearly the reason why Antonio Brown is there.
Because the reason why he's there is because Tom Brady wanted him there.
I thought he was going to land with Nick Foles or something.
And he either convinced or overruled the coach. And doesn't speak well for the coach either way. Whether Arians finally came around to see his side of it. That's not good because he sounded definitive before. Nope, there's nothing about that guy we want. Nope, there's nothing about him. And then Tom uses his Tony Robbins mind tricks on him and gets him to change his mind. That does not speak well for the head coach. And it speaks even worse for him if he just got overruled and said, well, you know, hey, Tom wants him, so I don't care that you don't want him. We're going
to
get him.
See, you need to get like one of them rooms with Steve Ballmer or Tony Robbins and get one of them jump sessions going. And I think you need that. Just a little Rolling Stones in the background?
Yeah, what was Steve Ballmer yelling?
Developers! Come on, get it going!
Like everybody's like, I want to party with that guy.
That's what everybody was saying. Oh, man. Developers. And he's got so much sweat coming through.
Oh, my God. The shirt had to be thrown away.
Tommy boy.
What do you think it was like working in Microsoft in the 90s? I'm sure their expense accounts were something. Really? Oh, we got another client trip we're going out on.
Developers. Yes!
We got a couple of open phone lines. You want to grab one? Good time to do it. We'll talk to you next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Before we jump to these calls, let me give you a quick update. One, B-Rob missed a team in calculating the number of teams that started out with bad records.
Oh, no.
2018 Colts started out 1-5. They made the playoffs and won a playoff game.
So 18, did you say?
2018, yeah.
1-5.
Yeah, they started out 1-5. They made the playoffs and won a playoff game, I believe, in the wild card round. That's now seven teams of the last decade that have done it.
1-5s are... That gives you hope. 1-5 gives you hope,
right? If you can start 1-5 and make the playoffs,
I mean, the Chiefs team went 11-5, ended up 11-5.
I mean, they ran off 10 in a row. It's rare. It's rare.
They ran off 10 in a row. That's crazy.
Here's Neil Collins' email of the day. Neil Collins,
no relation to Phil.
No relation to Phil, as far as we know. Neil Collins,
the email of the day.
He says doing B-Rob's 2-4 stats, one better. Since 1990, there have been 24 teams which had a losing record after nine games and still made the playoffs, including Drew Bledsoe and the 94 Patriots. Zo, what'd you start out? Do you remember the record after nine games?
I don't.
You were 3-6.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
3-6 and they made the playoffs.
Should have said it. Take a shot.
There are a bunch of teams. As he said, 24. Most recently,
10-6 that year.
Yeah. Most recently, it has been the Titans of last year, the Seahawks, the Eagles in 2018 were 4-5. The Cowboys were 4-5 that year. The Colts were 4-5 after starting out 1-5, and the Ravens were 4-5. So in 2018, five teams started the year 4-5, and made the playoffs. That was only 2 years ago.
Steelers almost pulled it off last year.
So all hope is not lost. 617-779-0985. Kevin is in Foxborough today. Thanks for hanging on, Kevin.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Kev.
So, Beal, you're right. Baseball obviously had all these problems well before 2020. But the thing is, they already had the problem of losing fans. And then I think this just kind of exaggerated it or exacerbated it. I don't know if that's the right word. But it just kind of sped everything up a little bit.
Magnified it.
It pushed those fringe fans away even more.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Maybe not push them away, Kevin. It's just that, well, they were sort of hanging and clinging to begin with, and then everything got so screwed up this year that it was just like, I'll take a pass on this season. I remember when we talked about this back in March and April, I think was about
Mass wrote about it on the website.
When some people had suggested, and we kicked the idea around here, maybe baseball should just shut it down and not have a season and skip the year, which, again, was never going to happen because of their wallets. But it was like maybe they could take a pass and come back better for it next year and have people saying, gee, it's been a while since we've had baseball. I missed it.
I'm sure people said that. I never believed that was going to be a good idea.
We didn't either. I mean, we agreed on that, but it was kicked around. Let's go to Ed in Quincy. Hi, Ed.
Hi. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
I have a quick comment and then a question. That number, $3.1 billion earnings loss, is just uncanny. I mean, this just goes to show you the irreparable damage caused by COVID, and it's probably just the tip of the iceberg in some industries. I find that number difficult to believe. Can you tell me what percentage of that loss is due to ticket sales and that $3.1 billion?
I'm sure. I don't have that specific number, but I'm sure it's probably like three quarters of it.
Concession, gate, yep.
That's a lot.
How is this going to impact free agency, the spending by owners, the off season? I mean, with these kind of losses, are these owners going to be willing to spend money on free agents?
Well, it's a good question, Ed, and it relates to the team here locally in your Red Sox. They've got money, okay? They had a terrible year, like every team in baseball had a terrible year financially. That doesn't mean they don't have money in the bank. It doesn't mean they don't have money to spend. And if teams do dial it back because they say, we don't know what the financial situation is for this year, the year after that, or the next 5 years, because there's so many uncertain things right now, the Red Sox could take advantage of that by spending their money, by saying, oh, good, free agency prices are down. Good, we're going shopping. We're going on a spree.
Nice.
Let's put this team back together quickly. I half hope that's the case, that other teams get thrifty or a group of teams start colluding together to not spend money. If you're the Red Sox, use your money to your advantage. It's your advantage, and you might have a bigger advantage than usual right now. That's what I would. That would be my advice to them.
Yeah, I'm not that floored and shocked by the number, because you knew it was going to be a big number.
Oh, I'm not.
You knew it was going to be a big number. You're talking about all the games that they play and the amount of teams that they went to, you know, and you're still trying to keep your ballparks open. It's not like you had a bubble like you did with the NBA and you're playing in one court, one building. Same thing with hockey, two cities, right?
And by the way, we're talking about lost revenue. We're not talking about their, you know, $3.1 billion in the red.
Right.
No, it's less than expected revenue.
What they're normally wanting.
Right. They're off by $3 billion this year. So instead of making, and I'd have to check what they were last year before all of this happened, but instead of making
six.
No, I think it's more than that. I think it's like 10 or 11. It's 10.7 last year. 10.7 billion last year. This year, you're looking at 7.8.
Yeah.
Right? I'm sorry. What did I say it was? 10.7?
10.6.
7.6. Math.
Yeah.
Math. 7.6. Stupid. dummies. All right. Kevin in the car. Kevin.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hi, Kevin.
Regarding baseball, I think there's a number of reasons why it completely went under this year. I think, first and foremost, it's boring. And I think, you know, two of the big fan bases are your fantasy fans, right, that all have their fantasy leagues. And then your devout fans, like, for their team. And I think that the championship this year, in most sports, I think most people would agree, kind of has an asterisk next to it. So, you know, the diehard fans for their team aren't tuning in as much. And fantasy leagues, most of them shut down because it was just kind of BS this year. I just think it's kind of a big joke. And looking back in hindsight, like you mentioned earlier, I think not having the season this year, probably not a bad decision. I think they might have come back stronger next year. I don't think they're going to come back strong next year at all.
All right, Kevin. Well, that part about you only care about your local team, it has always been the case in baseball, even at its height. You don't usually get a strong audience for nationally televised baseball games.
Hey, you like your team.
No one's
more of a
it's a very localized. It's a hyper local sport. Yeah. That's what it is. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Because as long as everyone's engaged and into their own teams, it's fine. The
whole
thing works.
Makes you a fan of that sport.
Makes the whole thing work.
Right.
Beetle,
right.
Did you do the expenses number in there too?
No, I don't.
Okay. Think so, and again, this is just from the lead, but the $3 billion in revenue, they said the expenses were $6.1 billion. So while they made 10.7 in 2019, that would only account for a $4.6 billion profit. They're saying this year, expenses were $6.1 billion. They had $3 billion in revenue.
Oh, so they're actually down.
So that would be $3.1 billion in the red, according to those numbers.
So it costs them money to play the year?
That's what they're saying.
Yeah, I don't know if I buy that. I have a hard time believing that they didn't make any money.
I didn't make a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I believe that. Again, like I said, these owners.
Yeah, you didn't see the stuff of them hemorrhaging, where they're hemorrhaging money.
Jeff in Nashville on the 04 Red Sox, it says here. Jeff.
What's going on, boys? Before I get into that, the post-Kansas City game, the league-wide conference call and Devin McCourty coming out afterwards and saying it's clear that the league and the NFL Players Association don't care about us, I think that was your defining moment where his leadership, told them exactly what they needed. But anyway, about the World Series tonight. Now,
I cut my teeth as a fan in left field bleachers at Candlestick Park, so certainly I hate the Dodgers much more than the next guy. So when they channeled the curse of the Bambino pre-steroid Red Sox by literally inventing a way to lose on Saturday night, I almost felt sorry for them. But as a lifelong fan of Major League Baseball's team of the decade, the San Francisco Giants, I'm comfortable with the Dodgers finally winning a title in this millennium, although, as the previous caller said, it will have an asterisk on it, like the 2004 Red Sox title.
Maybe for now.
Congratulations.
I'm not getting into why you're 2004. You think there's an asterisk there. I'm not doing that. No. You're not touching that. You will not in any way soil 2004 for anybody here. No, you could do that on your own time, Jeff. Not here. Not on this show. No. Don't give me Ortiz and Manny and then those arguments. No, thank you. Get out of here with that. No. Dodgers winning, will it have an asterisk?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.